At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. live stream edition, where we're here just to talk about, you know, latest news, updates, what's happened in the since we spoke last, things that we think are going to happen, talking to you guys, what are your opinions on stuff, just kind of like a nice little chat and catch up. And I am Ashley, and here, as always, with my incredible partner, Gian. How are you, Gian? Happy Wednesday. How has your week been?
Good. Happy Wednesday to you, too. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Happy Wednesday, Black Story. I see you're here. Nice to have you in here. But yeah, just kind of do a little midweek live. We don't do these too often. We usually do the live post games, but it's nice to do a little live halfway through the week type of thing with you guys and just talk about the newest stuff. What's on your mind? What do you guys have questions about? And what do you want our opinions about? And then just give you some of the latest news. Typically during midweek, we always get these practices before the game where a lot of stuff comes out. So just excited to talk about that, and we'll see how it goes. There's nothing really too planned here. So yeah,
I know. Yeah, this is just going to be like going with the flow. We're just going with the flow kind of people. And you know, we just wanted to just like, I don't know, we're always very structured in like pregame, postgame, etc. But this team, there's so much always happening today. Like we said this morning, a ton of player announcements, some announcements that haven't happened yet that we think are going to be happening soon with new roster additions, injury updates. And I also just kind of like, you know, around MLS, things that are happening that is always somehow related to Inter Miami. So kind of talking about that too. And yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So let's dive into one of the first things that comes to mind. Okay, so on everybody's mind, we see this all the time. We get questions on some of our posts on X. What is going on with Chelo Wangan? When are we getting our Ray back? We're tired of this 5-3-2, this 3-5-2, no, whatever the literally. Heck it is. When are we getting that? Because as we know, Tata does not feel comfortable playing that line of four without a proper right back. He still doesn't have enough confidence in, well, I wouldn't say confidence, but he doesn't want to put that big responsibility on Boatwright yet to be able to play that right back position. We know that Ian Frey is still coming back from injury. So Chelo Wangan is the guy that is coming to Inter Miami. We saw that finally he renewed his contract with Boca, which allows him to then go on loan from Boca to Inter Miami. So that was already announced on that side with Boca. We saw him at the airport. It was reported him that he was heading to Miami. No official announcement yet, but something cool to note is that on the MLS website, he's already registered as an Inter Miami player. He's not on the Inter Miami website, but he is on the MLS website already under Inter Miami, which leads us to think that anytime now, hopefully this week, we could see a Chelo Wangan to Inter Miami official announcement. So that's excited, right?
Very excited. Yeah, I mean, are we going to get it from Fabrizio? That's what I need to know. Like, that's if you know it's legit or not, if we get the here we go. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's going to happen any day, and it's, you know, a done deal. And so now it's just a matter of getting him here, getting him situated, getting him to play. I don't think he'll be playing Saturday, but I think he will be playing soon. And like you said,
Conca Champions, right?
I think we need to get back to that 4-3-3 stat.
Yeah, Yeah, for CONCACAF champions, I think that I agree with you. I mean, it'd be cool if he played for, you know, against New York City. But just given the fact that it's 3 days from now, still no official announcement, it would lead us to think that hopefully he is available for that New York, for that CONCACAF Champions Cup against Monterrey. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And I think that other than that, I'm trying to think if there's any other news apart from what we heard at practice. Can you think of anything else going around in the interwebs about Inter Miami other than what we have at practice? Let's see.
Well, I saw a tweet today from the New England Revolution, and this isn't really about players, but I just thought it was interesting that they said that next month's game in New England is going to be is one of the most sold out home games of all time for them. And I just couldn't help but think two things. One, okay, that's the Messi effect for you. We've been telling you it's good, it's going to happen, and not, you know, Messi, Alba Busquets, etc. But the other thing I was thinking is that, well, I don't think they're playing on turf. Or maybe some of them are, but and Messi, if he's still coming back from this injury, I don't know. I know I don't want to say this to the you know, to the New England fans, and maybe it won't be true, but I don't know how many of the four are going to be playing in that game.
Well, they've all, I mean, I know that we've had that conversation before, and people have asked that question, are they going to be playing on turf? But didn't Messi last season play on turf, and we all thought he wasn't going to?
Yeah, but it was the last game of the season, and we were already out of the playoffs and against Charlotte, so I don't know. And he's been hurt, you know, he has a hamstring problem, so I don't know. I mean, I hope he plays every game in some capacity, or all the, you know, as many possible games. And I know it's good for the league and it's good for different areas when he can, but I'm just thinking, I don't know. We'll see.
It's tough to keep Messi off of, it's tough to keep if he's healthy. My opinion is if he's healthy, he's going to play. Whether it doesn't matter if it's grass, if it's artificial, if it's gravel, I think that he is going to play because
Please
he's
God,
messy.
Don't have him play on gravel.
I think he's going to play. I really do. But I agree with you 100%. I understand the concern, and I would be concerned as well. But I just think Messi himself as a player and him wanting to always be on the field as many times as he can with his team, I don't think you can keep Messi off. Like, you can tell him, and I think that he'll make sure that he's on there. My opinion, but
maybe I'm just saying it, and also depends on how far we make it with CONCACAF. Are we still in the, you know, in the Champions Cup? Have we made it to the next round? What are those matches looking like? How is his overall injury? How are other people's health and fitness doing? How is their, you know, rotations doing? There's a lot of factors. So I just, when I saw it, I didn't immediately think, oh wow, it's sold out. So, you know, the four of them are going to play 90 minutes. I don't know, but I saw the tweet and I was just like, it's like the good and bad of the Messi effect, because you just deal with all of the people who, like, if he doesn't play or everything, then everyone feels shortchanged. And it's like, it's
a roll of the dice
situation. Yeah.
It's a roll of the dice. Every game
for home games sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a roll of the dice all the time. And I think that we have to realize not everybody is on X or, you know, getting all this news. I see so many times people, when we're seeing these pregame interviews, you know, when the media is at the actual game and interviewing some of these people, and we already know for a few days, Messi's not going to be there. And they're, oh, I'm so excited to see Messi. You know, I can't wait to see him. He's my favorite player. And I'm thinking here, like, that sucks because he's not there. Like, so it just shows, like, okay, people are buying these tickets, but I don't know, when you have these sold out stadiums for Inter Miami and Messi, I don't know how many of them are really connected to the news and the media and all that. These are just fans that live outside this world that we're in here with, you know, all the updates and all that stuff. So it's definitely a gamble. It's a gamble for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, again, it's not like the main point of this live stream and the story in general. I just saw it and you know, it is the Messi effect in terms of just who's going to be available. And that is the risk everyone takes, you know, for not just home games, but away games. You know, it happens in the NBA and a lot of leagues where, you know, sometimes the big stars, like, you expect them to play and then they have to rest, or they have an injury, or they're just being careful. So it's just food for thought. I know there's a lot of games that are happening in big stadiums across MLS for Inter Miami over the course of the season. So, you know, we'll definitely see who's a part of them and who isn't. But yeah, besides that, I did want to bring up that there's a new player who's going to be joining MLS, and he's not joining Inter Miami. Sorry, Gian's having technical difficulties for a minute, so I'm going to continue. There is someone joining MLS from Europe, and he's not joining Inter Miami, but he's a very important player, and that is Olivier Giroud, who currently plays for AC Milan and who is still a very good striker who still, you know, plays for very important teams and very important leagues, still plays for France. And he is going to sign a contract with LAFC and start after the Euros this summer, where he'll be playing for France, which is still obviously pretty meaningful and pretty important. But I, you know, how do we feel about that for the league and just, you know, what it means to MLS in general? And we've had this conversations a lot of times about like getting stars from Europe who are not, you know, 45 and on their last legs, but who are coming to still play meaningfully in MLS. And I think Olivier Giroud is a really good example of that because, yeah, he's a little on the older end, but similarly to Suarez or Messi or whoever, he's still playing at a very high level and he's still very good and he's going to immediately make a big impact for LAFC and, you know, bring more stars out. I think it's awesome and I'm happy. And, you know, not just on the field, like we said with Messi, but off the field and just to the league in general, is that we're seeing all of these new people come. And so it's awesome. And I hope it continues because this league is important. And also maybe that's another instance of us saying that we need our international windows to match up a little bit more with the rest of, you know, Europe so that we have our players for important games. So with that, though, I can segue into an important topic, which is who is going to be playing on Saturday and who is available from our team. Like we mentioned earlier this morning for training, there was media availability and we got some really interesting, important updates. One, and I see your comment, Tony, and I'm going to bring it up right now, is that Benjamin Kromaski trained fully and was completely integrated into full team activities and is, I guess, back, you know, from his hamstring injury. And that's great and super important because we've needed him. We've needed the midfield depth, the creativity, the flexibility, and all of the things that he brings on the field. So how much do I think he's going to participate on Saturday? I don't know. It's an interesting question. I think it's hopefully I don't think he's going to start. I'll put it that way. I don't think he's going to start. I am hoping he comes in around the 60th minute or something like that and is, you know, gets to have meaningful minutes and a meaningful impact and can immediately be useful for the team and for the games coming up because we, you know, next week is our game against Monterrey, and it's going to be, you know, an intense game and crazy and the most important game so far for this Inter Miami team competitively by far. So it's really good to think he will be back in some capacity and hopefully he gets those first minutes Saturday against New York City FC, which, by the way, me and Gian will be doing a preview for soon. So yeah, another question I saw or another comment is, I think Messi will play 15 minutes on Saturday. Yeah, I think Messi will play on Saturday too. I don't know how long he's going to play. Again, he's not someone who really likes to be a sub. So I don't know. Like usually when he's going to play, he's just going to start and he likes to start. But, you know, maybe they're taking it slow. But I'd be very surprised if he didn't play any time between now and when we play our first, you know, game against Monterrey. Like he needs to get game time and get himself back into it. Not that he needs it, you know, compared to everyone else, but I would still be very surprised if he went from zero to, you know, starting in that high stakes of a game. So I think he'll be playing Saturday as well, which is good. I know him and Freire have been doing gym work and individual training, but Messi's been training every single day for the last 2 weeks. He obviously, he didn't go with Argentina for international duty. He's been working on his fitness and training and rehabbing every single day. So I think sooner rather than later, he will be playing, which is exciting because we've missed him. We've missed him terribly. And he's very important to this team, obviously, in every way, shape, and form. And being able to have him, Freire, Kramaski playing after being out, you know, injured, having Gomez and Redondo and Callander all back, super important. It's what we need because we've been playing very well, but obviously this game this past Saturday was bad, and it was bad from minute one to minute 90, and showed the parts of this team that there's still a lot of holes in. And, you know, we need to just have availability consistently. And while not everyone has to play the 90 minutes every single game, they need to be able to play and have availability and consistency so that the team can, you know, keep reaching its full potential. Comment from Northern Thai Guy. Hello, welcome. Comment about our new right back. I don't know anything about him. I'm already impressed. Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, that he is he hasn't officially been announced, but he's already on the MLS website. He already signed his contract with Boca Juniors, so he's coming. And it will be a huge, huge relief and a huge benefit once we get him to start playing so that we can, you know, go be more comfortable, I think, in our back four and, you know who that we're going to have. We're going to have him on the right. We're going to have Alba on the left. And then the center backs are going to be Aviles and Freire. The more consistency and sureness we can have with that, the better. So, I think it's really important. But yeah, besides that, did anyone else have any other things they wanted to talk about or, you know, speak more on that would be interesting, that we're kind of unsure of? Who do we think is going to play on Saturday? I mean, like I said, the comment from Black Story, watch Tata put the new right back in a five. Yeah, that's always a risk with the back five. But I think, you know, I think he understands the pressure maybe, and look, we can look at the past games, and while injuries definitely play a part of it, if you look at the overall performance from minute one to 90 when we're playing a back five versus a 4-3-3, just a completely different game and just really, I don't know, really important and good for the strengths of our midfield and our front three, because, you know, Busquets, who when we're doing a 4-3-3, I think Busquets has just been fantastic, and he still is, and he's just such like a conductor and a maestro and knows where to go, how to convert from defense to offense, be in those open spaces, compact in the midfield and make things happen, have a high line, etc. When we don't have that, we're asking so much of him, and it's, you know, he's not, it's asking too much of him, really. And Redondo helps, obviously Gomez helps with those situations, but the overall team, I think just they perform better in the 4-3-3, and hopefully we move forward with that, with our new right back, which will be very important. But, you know, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm really excited for Kramaski to come back. I think that will be a huge improvement, you know, because right now we're saying like what is the midfield three, like our best midfield three, Busquets, Rolando, and Gomez. I don't know, Kramaski may have something to say about that, you know, like where he fits, and I, like I've said before, I can see that there are situations where you can have Gomez play up, and I mean Robert Taylor is still, I think, probably a little bit of a better weapon, but just having options, rotations, ability to stretch the team and the, you know, the offense is really important, because when we're on, we're on. When we're scoring goals and we're playing, you know, great, consistent, then it's great and it doesn't matter. But when we aren't and our offense isn't firing, we need to be able to just have the creativity in the midfield and being able to connect the three phases. And Busquets, I see a comment, he shines in the 4-3-3 because he drops back when needed. Yeah, Busquets knows exactly where to go. And that's, you know, like really, really important, because in the back five, he keeps having to go in places that aren't beneficial for him and for the team. And then our midfield seems completely sparse. And, you know, we can't ask Suarez to be doing such intense hold up play and going so far back. And then it just ruins the whole flow. So I agree that, you know, with the key weapons coming back and the you know, strong rotations makes a really big difference. Farias, wish he wasn't out for the rest of the year. I agree with that comment too. But yeah, he is, unfortunately, with his ACL, and, you know, but we have Gomez and we have Taylor, and, you know, I didn't think Taylor played well at all against Red Bulls, but it could have also just been that he wasn't put in positions to succeed. You know, no one really was put in a position to succeed, but, you know, I think that Taylor is actually one of those players who has a very short leash in Tata's eyes, which I know seems weird because especially last year, he's made such great contributions, and like he scores goals. He's a goal scorer. He's very creative. He does well, but I think in Tata's eyes, you know, when you're saying like who's the most important to be on the field, it's Messi, it's Suarez, it's Busquets, it's Redondo, it's Gomez. Like those are the priorities over Taylor, I think. And I don't know. I think that he's in a more precarious position. I also think Julian Gressel probably offers a little bit more in terms of, you know, having, if he needs to be a right back or, you know, play in the midfield, be creative, etc. You know, he offers more stretching than Robert Taylor does, but I love Robert Taylor, and especially in a 4-3-3, there's no one I'd rather have on the left than him. So, yeah, agreed with that point that putting him as right back, it's like, yeah, it's not useful. But at the same time, we have to remember that like when we have players out and when we have to change formations or we're rotating, that Tata is going to go with whoever can make the most out of the positions they're in. So I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But I hope in an ideal, like if you said who's the best front three, it's Suarez, Taylor, and Messi. But we haven't been able to see that very often so far this year because of injuries or, you know, a lot of other reasons. And the fact that we lost DeAndre Yedlin so suddenly and without having a replacement ready to go maybe as quickly as they expected is a problem. I see a comment, Ashley, Gressel's not doing well consistently because Tata's not using him correctly. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he played well at all on Saturday, but I think that he just – like he just has more versatility than, and just, he just fits more when wherever you need him to go, he goes. And so like, I think because he has experience as right back, he has experience in the midfield, he has experience going forward, that there's just more flexibility with him than with other players who are more forward minded. Because I mean, Robert Taylor did not like him being a right back really didn't work, and it wasn't his fault at all, but it obviously didn't work. Julian Gressel, we had play right back last week, right? Somewhere or was part of the, yeah, in some capacity played right back and it worked much better. So it's just about, you know, availability and who to put where. But I don't know. There's a lot of rotation that needs to happen and we still need to find the best 11. And I can't tell you right now what the best 11 is, which is, you know, a problem. Here's a great, Ruiz works in right back from experience. Agreed. If Ruiz was available and he wasn't with his on international duty this past Saturday, I think that Ruiz would have started at right back 100% because so far this season, he's been super important. And I agree that, you know, now in the midfield, we have Redondo, we have Busquets, we have Gomez, we have Kramaski, we have Gressel. Like Ruiz has probably fallen a little bit in the pecking order for in terms of just like who's your starting midfield three. And that's a shame because Ruiz is incredibly important, works incredibly hard, has played well, has improved so much since last, you know, over the last year to now, and deserves playing time. And so it's like a matter of where can you play him where he still makes an impact. And yeah, that's where I hope he plays. But so maybe here's my question for you. Like right now, who do you think is like the best 11? Like, if you start, who is your best 11? Like, would it be, would Gressel be in that 11? Would he not? Would Taylor be in that 11? Would he not? Campana, etc. You know, there's a lot of options. So it's like, who do we want, like, for next week for CONCACAF Champions Cup? Who is in that best 11 where you are thinking from minute one, this is the best we could possibly do? Oh my God, thank God.
I'm back.
Oh, yes. Welcome. God, you really left me there for a second.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. We're talking about who our best 11 is. And if, like,
I have
all
my
things
best 11.
So then go. Perfect. Say who's your best 11?
My best 11 are, okay, in the back, you've got Alba, Calendar in the goal. Mm-hmm. Alba, Freire, Aviles, Chelo Wengant, as soon as he comes in. So that's your back four. Your best midfield is Busquets, Gomez, Redondo, and Gressel. And then Messi and Suarez.
Agreed. Okay, yeah. Well, so, but actually, I agree. But at the same time, that's kind of what we were all discussing is, like, is Gressel in your best 11?
I think that, so,
like,
I
always?
I think it's interesting because if you go Gressel, I think you're taking out Taylor. So I think it just changes the dynamic a bit because I think you and me had this conversation before where if you take out Taylor, then it's Gomez that would play kind of that more attacking position. And then you'd have in that midfield, you'd have Busquets, Gressel, and Redondo. And then you'd have Gomez a little higher up. Now, if you have all four and you don't have Taylor, then, I mean, if you don't have Gressel, then it's really a three in the back, I mean, in the midfield with Redondo, Gomez, and Busquets. And then you've got Taylor kind of on the wing. So it depends how you want to play it. But I think that Gressel gives you a little more security, like in the midfield. If you play it like that, you just don't get as much attack with Taylor. So I'll say that those two are interchangeable for me, Taylor or Gressel. It depends kind of – I think it'll depend on who the opponent is, and that'll kind of dictate that. But those are kind of like the best 11 in my eyes.
Yeah, agree. I mean, I don't disagree. Like, I think that I saw comments saying that right now it could be like Ruiz is the right back. And then the midfield, Busi, Redondo, and Gomez, and then Suarez, Messi, Taylor. Oh my God, did you freeze again? Ay, 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 he froze again. What are we going to do? Well, here's my thinking. I agree that the best three midfielders is Busi, Gomez, and Redondo. And so then it becomes a situation of, like, right now, until we have our right back, like, completely sure and finalized, is it Ruiz or is it Gressel as the starting right back, like, in a perfect world? And I don't know. It's a difficult question because, like I said, while not every minute has been perfect, I still think that Gressel offers a lot. Like, he offers a lot, and he's very flexible, and he's very smart on the ball, and he does make good decisions. So it's hard to take him out of the starting lineup when he hasn't, I don't know, like, he still shows he just has so much flexibility and you know, ability to move around within the team and fit whatever's with the rotations and things like that. Question, do I think that do I like the idea of a 4-4-2? I do. I think that, you know, I think the main thing is, like, having a back four. Like, that's really, really important for our team, is to have a back four and to be able to be aggressive, have a high line, have a compact midfield, and, like, be able to have Messi and Suarez, like, be able to get unleashed and make things happen in the final third. So 4-4-2 works too. It just depends on, you know, but I don't know. I don't feel like Tata loves 4-4-2 so much. I think the number one option when everyone is healthy and available is to do a 4-3-3. When that isn't available, I think he immediately goes to a back five. So I think that the 4-4-2 just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't happen as much. So yeah, I don't know. It's asking a lot of Messi and Suarez in a 4-4-2, but when healthy, I don't know two better people to ask it of right? So it's like, we'll have to see. I think that really when we're going to find out like what is our absolute best 11 and like what is the best thing we can do, we're going to see it with the first game against Monterrey. That is when you're going to get, I think, the absolute best, strongest lineup where every single person is put in their best possible position to succeed. And as long as Messi is healthy and available, he will be there, and that will make a huge difference in this, bro.
Yeah, my apologies, guys. My apologies. I do not know what is happening here internet-wise, so, but let's keep going. I don't want to interrupt.
No worries. That's okay. And like I said, this is meant to be very free-flowing, this conversation.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's like we've spent the last, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes just talking about lineups and who we think it's going to be. So we're still saving our preview. We're going to do the preview tomorrow for New York City FC, the game on Saturday, and like who immediately we think is going to make an impact and who's going to join. But until then, I think it'll just be interesting. Like, there's so much news happening, and so many people back from injury, back from international duty, getting healthy, that it's really exciting. And I was saying that, you know, we will know who the best 11 is and the best formation against Monterrey. Like, that will be, without a doubt, the number one option for everyone, unless someone is seriously hurt. Like, unless Messi is seriously hurt or someone is seriously unavailable, you're going to get your best 4-3-3, and you're going to get who are the best players. And I'm really curious to see if that includes Gressel or not. I'm really interested to see it.
We've talked about that. That's definitely going to be the answer for us as far as all of our questions. If everybody's healthy, he's going to put the best 11 in what is probably the most important game in Inter Miami history. So I'm definitely looking forward to that game. And I think that whatever happens from now till then is everything that happens, the practices, who plays against New York City, all of that is predicated on what they want to do and have who they want to have available for Monterrey. They want to make sure that they are 100% healthy. They want to make sure that they don't overexert anybody. They want to make sure that they do maintenance on whoever is having any lingering injuries or any stubborn muscle, whatever it is, cramps, anything. They want to make sure that they're all 100%. And we are still early enough in this season where this team is not worried about dropping games in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, they want to go out and win every game, and don't think that they're going out there saying, yeah, you know, we can lose this one. No, but they are comfortable enough in betting all of it on the Champions Cup right now, knowing that again, they think that they have enough outside of whatever they do Champions Cup to be competitive in the league and still get good results. And if they drop one here or there, the ultimate prize is the Champions Cup. And I think that right now Inter Miami is poised to do very well. And I don't know who comes after Monterrey. We don't know yet. But I think that if we get past Monterrey, hey, I think it's straight to the finals, because Monterrey, number one team in Mexico right now in the standings, they're just a juggernaut. And I think that if we can get past them, man, that's going to speak volumes. That's going to put a lot of confidence on these players. And it's, man, not anybody gets past that team. So, yeah, once we get past it there, I think it's a big, big chance that we're making it straight to the finals. And after that, everything that happens is the cherry on top. Anything that
agreed.
Happens.
Agreed, yeah. And it's so early in the regular season, too, that we really don't know. Like, we don't know what it's going to look like. We just don't. But we're already doing well. Like, we're in second. We had a tough game on Saturday. But look, we're way ahead of where we were last season. And this is with Messi not having played in half the games already.
Yeah.
And so it's a long season. I agree that I'm not worried about us in terms of being in the playoffs and being able to, you know, figure out the end of the regular season as it gets closer. But the main things are is about the Champions Cup. And I see a comment here: Messi is not playing, kind of worried he won't be ready for Wednesday. You know, we spoke about it a little bit earlier. Like, is Messi going to play on Saturday? I think he will. I don't think he's going to start, even though he wants to. Like, if he's available, he's like, I start or I don't. Like, that's kind of how he likes to do it. But I think he's going to get some minutes. Like, I think he's going to come in for 30 minutes on Saturday, because I just don't think he likes to go from not playing for 3 or 4 weeks or whatever to playing immediately in that. Like, he likes to get game time beforehand, I think. But I'll put it this way. Unless it is such a serious injury and they're really keeping it from us, he's going to be starting on.
I think overall
he's been doing gym work every single day. Like, he's still able to run and everything. It's just they're being very cautious with him.
Yeah, and like we've spoken before, there's a big difference between being on the practice field and being in an actual game. The action is completely different. The how your body responds to that, the toll on your body is completely different than being in practice and seeing them, you know, whatever he does there. But I think that generally, you want to make sure as a player, you hate to go in cold, especially into a really tough game like the game against Monterrey. You want to get some reps in. You want to have some game time, whether it's 15, 30 minutes or an entire half. But I think with Messi, if they don't think he's 100% ready, I don't know if they risk it just to give him some time. Because look at Messi, his first game ever. What was it against? Who was it against that he played?
Cruz Azul.
Bro, he hadn't played in like months. He comes in and balls up. I remember he just completely balls up and then scores that free kick in the 93rd minute. Like, Messi doesn't need.
He doesn't need it compared to anyone else. He doesn't need it.
But is it good to do it? 100%. Yeah. It'd be good for him to get that time. But again, if he's not 100%, if he feels anything, I don't think they're risking it. But the good thing is we're coming back. So I think that with or without Messi, we should have enough to compete on Saturday. And then also, not to speak down on the opponent, but they're not in their best moment either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, agreed. You know, it's not the same New York City FC that we've seen in years past, where it's, you know, but you still never know. Like, you know, it's, you still never know. It's any team, any day can beat another. I saw a comment: am I worried that Messi hasn't kicked a ball this week? No, because I think they're not going to show it. Even if he was perfectly healthy, sometimes he doesn't. They wouldn't have him practice or play with the team or anything like that, because he just. Gian, did you freeze again? Oh no, you're there. Okay. Am I? No, I'm not worried, because I think they're just being super super hidden with him anyway, and they're just not going to show their cards. Like, I don't think we're going to know until day of, ever, really, unless it's so obvious if he's playing or not. Like, you know, if he's available or not. And in instances like this, like, yeah, the individual training, he knows his body very well. I also think, like, if he thinks he's ready like, if he's ready to work himself back into it, he's going to say, I want to play 20 or 30 minutes on Saturday. If he's like, I'd rather wait, then he'll wait. Like, I think he knows better than anyone. But like I said, it would be shocking if he doesn't start next week. So that's just, that's exciting, at least. It's someone's a black sore. I think he's not injured. He's just tired and didn't want to play meaningless games with Argentina. I don't think Messi has that in his blood to do that. Maybe, but I don't think so. And when he came out against Nashville, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know. And we'll see. The one thing we know is that we don't know with Messi and injuries at this point of his career. Inter Miami is not telling us. He is not telling us. MLS isn't telling us. We'll know the hour before every game if he's healthy or not. And that's really
That's a total switch of the narrative too there by Blackstory, because all we've heard till now is he fakes injuries with Inter so that he can play
for Argentina right, yeah.
Not that we believe that, but I'm saying that's been the narrative by some people. Now you're saying that it's the other way around. He's faking an injury not to play with Argentina. I think that any time that he can play with Argentina, he's going to do it. We've had this conversation in the past. What is his responsibility right now that at this point in his career where he's won it all with Argentina, does he still owe Argentina anything, or is he at the point where his responsibility is more with Inter Miami? That's a discussion that we've had and people have been very opinionated about. We've said that nobody's asking Messi not to go and play in Copa America, not to go and play in whatever important game there is. But when you're talking about games that could be meaningless for Argentina in the midst of a really tough season for Inter Miami, where they're depending on him, I think there is a cause for discussion there as to what he should be doing or what he shouldn't. And, you know, I went to recently to go listen to Andres Cantor, who is very well-known Argentinian commentator.
Yeah.
He's famous for the World Cup final, yelling the penalties they actually asked him a question about Messi and his role now with Argentina, and you know, should he be going to the next World Cup in a few years? And he said, look, Messi has done everything he's had to do for Argentina. His responsibility is done there. He doesn't owe Argentina anything. He's given it all now. There shouldn't be any expectation on him anymore for Argentina. So I think that was just an interesting thing to think about. But yeah, he's definitely not faking injuries to not play with Argentina. He loves playing with Argentina. I think that if he doesn't want to play with Argentina, he's not going to fake an injury. He's just going to be straight up and say, hey, my responsibility right now is with my club, with my guys, with my family, with Suarez, Busquets, Alba, and the rest of the guys. So,
yeah, and I think it's also very much understood that, like, for Copa America, everyone's going. Like, every player who's available, like, I'm sure Suarez is hoping to keep in good form so that he is called up to go, which I think he will be, honestly. I'd be very – unless – he doesn't score in the next 3 months. Like, I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't call him up, because I think he's just very important for them in general. I've seen this comment a few times. What color hoodie goes under a pink Miami jersey? Same color pink, black or white? Well, I think I like black and pink. You can see on the other side that I'm wearing a shirt that they provided. But I think the black and pink looks cool. So that's my fashion advice, is black and pink looks cool. So go with the black and pink. One thing, after his last interview, not as motivated as before because he's won everything and he's just enjoying life. Yeah, I agree with that point too. And I think we're seeing it kind of firsthand this season, is that he's not – I think he's one, playing the long game with the season, knowing, like we said, he has Copa America. We have the Champions Cup. We have the season that goes until October, like minimum October with the playoffs. So he's spacing himself out and, like, enjoying what he – absolutely deserves with an amazing career. He's still playing at such a high level. Like, what's so crazy to me is that, can you honestly tell me right now, like, injury aside or whatever, like, if he could go and play 90 minutes, could go and just someone, team said to him, okay, come finish the season with us where we need you to start at the right wing and play 90 minutes, how many teams would turn him down in the top five leagues in Europe?
Yeah, I don't think many at this point.
Maybe Arsenal, Man City, like maybe some teams that like have like young superstars that they want to grow and like keep that position. But besides that, like, I tell you right now, 18 out of 20 Premier league teams will take him tomorrow. Every La Liga team would take him tomorrow. Like, every League One team would take him tomorrow. Like, he's still the best. Like, he's still literally the best player in the world. Like, he just is. And I mean,
you know what's interesting? Yeah. Transfer Market actually came out with his latest valuation on
what
a transfer.
Is it?
Did you see that?
It's no, I didn't.
It's
what
down
is
down to 30 million.
I know, but how great. He's 30 million and he plays in MLS.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Like, put it in like context. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still.
Look, I'm butchering his name, but Lamine Yamal, 16 years old, 16 year old phenom, baller. For Spain national team, baller for Barcelona. They're saying he's the next big thing in Barcelona. 16 years old. I think he's valued at, like, let's say, what was he? Valued at, like, 200, no. Or was it 50? I can't even say. But he was valued, no, at 200. That was his transfer fee. But he's valued at, like, 50 million or something like that. I don't know. Like, Messi right now, 30 million at what is he, 36 right now?
37, I think.
37?
No, he's 36.
30. I think
maybe
he's 36. 36. Okay. 30 million for a 36-year-old, that is insane. Like, it's dropping, but it's still, like, maintaining there. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no. I mean, if this was 10 years ago, it'd be 250 million. Like, it would be something that still, like, doesn't exist. So, like I said, that's just my point, is that he still plays at such a ridiculously high level that literally any top team in Europe would still take him. And the world would take him. And so we, you know, he knows himself, he knows his body. He knows, you know, it's a long season, lots of different tournaments, still putting a very good product in the field that we're seeing throughout MLS. We talked about, when you were in here, I was talking about Olivier Giroud. Like, there's now we're really starting to see, like, players who they're not, you know, 41 or 42, or like, this is the, you know, at the very bottom, can't offer anything anymore. Like, Olivier Giroud still starts pretty consistently for AC Milan and for France. And, like, he's going to play in the Euros. He's playing in the Europa League. Like, he's still a pretty important player in Europe. And, like, he's coming to LAFC in right after the Euros. And, like, it's going to immediately make a big impact.
He has similar numbers to Suarez. Suarez
plays for AC Milan. Like, he's playing
exactly.
In Serie A.
That's really,
like,
good.
Yeah. I mean, he's still right, isn't he? That front three is him, Pulisic, and Rafael Leao, isn't that?
He's got in 26 matches, he has 12 goals and 8 assists. That's insane.
In Serie A and in the Champions League and in now Europa League. Like, exactly. So still playing at a very high level and is coming to MLS, which I think is great. It's great for the league. It's super important. And another instance where we want to see the level of play continue to, you know, rise for every single team and getting really good product on the field.
I have a question for chat, though. I have a question for chat. This is going to be interesting because I already put it on X. I went ahead and put what I thought. And I put my name. I put my name on it because I didn't want you to get the backlash. I wasn't sure how people were going to feel about this. Between Suarez and Giroud, who would you guys rather on Inter Miami? And I said I stick with Suarez. I'm just curious, how do you guys in chat feel about that?
I'll say,
like,
this.
What do you feel like, Ashley?
My feeling is like if you said a whole season, like playing every single game, every minute, I think that Giroud just is in like a little bit of a better like health situation than Suarez in terms of, like, I don't know, if you said like who's going to be able to play the most consistent, you know, for the next 60 games, like I'd probably say Giroud is probably going to be just in a little bit better form. But Suarez is still so, like, he's so magical in his you know, what he does in the box and like his connection with Messi and everything. Like, I think there's just some factors that like go into why Suarez is makes more sense for Inter Miami. But like, fair is fair. I'd say if you're talking just about like overall, like every single metric, health, longevity, fitness, like form, whatever, like it's probably Giroud a little bit, but I, in terms of who I want is for Inter Miami, if you said put them both this season, who do I want? I would choose Suarez because it fits better.
Yeah, but I know we talk about health obviously because you look at the talk around Suarez and about his knees and about he's got to take painkillers all the time and he can't sleep, he can't walk, he can't this, he can't that, and I understand you, those who look at those points and then say, okay, yeah, I'd take Giroud because he seems to be physically better. But everything that they've talked about negatively about Suarez's health, I haven't seen that on the field.
No, I know. But it's just a long season. So, like, if you're saying who do I think isn't, like, more still, like, I don't know, can, like, maybe just like if you said a consistency, I don't know. Like I'm just saying I can see the conversation. Like I can see people saying both people for different reasons. I would choose Suarez because just, I don't know, like Suarez is still a ball. I mean, that left footed chip 2 weeks ago, like was crazy. Like that was stupid. Don't do that.
And the connection. Like, I mean, the connection with Messi, they're
right. Like he just fits better.
That you just can't, I mean, you right. can't really see that sometimes, and that connection is just irreplaceable. I think that so,
but I think, but overall, like I think Giroud is going to bring a ton of value to the league, and like just playing for LAFC, like they don't have Carlos Vela anymore, and they, you know, they have Hugo Lloris, and they're still a very important market team. And so, like, I think he's going to make an immediate impact and he's going to be a great striker. And I think it's great. Like, I just still very good, very at the high level of his game, still has plenty of time to go. Giroud would improve Miami in defending set pieces. Agreed with that. That's a great comment. Yeah. Like you said, who do I want? Like, who do I want to, like, do a header and crosses for me? Like, I'm going to choose Giroud over Suarez. But who wants to do every other part who I want to see? Like, I'm going to choose Suarez.
Yeah,
Rue has a mean header. I'll give him that. He has a mean header. He scores great heading goals.
Yeah, and but I think he's also talking about actually defending set pieces, which is something we definitely need.
I know, right? Can we bring him in as a? Does he want to come in as a center back?
No, but I mean, he's going to come back and help. We were the worst defending team against the set piece last season, and we thought that we'd improve this season. You know, it's not.
Well,
been
we have improved. Like with Redondo, we've improved. Like when Redondo and Freire are both playing, I feel much better with set pieces.
I guess
pieces.
The set piece, though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When they're both playing, I feel better about the set pieces. Like when they haven't played, we've had issues with it. But like Freire, great center back. Redondo, great defending midfielder. Like I think that they'll help. The new right back will help. Anyone taller than DeAndre Yedlin will help, which I think he is. Look, compared to last season, our defense is still way better than last season in all aspects 100%. Of it. Like, bruh, we had a tough last season, especially the first half of it. Like, it was tough comings with that. With
I just, you know what back. I wish?
So it's still an improvement.
Like, I agree with you. Like, our defense is better. And to me, it just sucks so much what happened against the New York Red Bulls because it puts such a stain on our defense after only allowing 5 goals through 5 matches. Or was it 4? Yeah, 5 goals through 5 matches. And then we get just absolutely obliterated 4-0.
But I think it still was important because we still, there are still holes. And like, there's still, like I said, I still need individual, like more consistency from individuals. And like, it was a good instinct to remind us that it's a long season. The rotations are important. Everyone needs to like hold their weight.
I guess, 100%. There are definitely holes that we've seen in there. But I think that some of those holes are, number one is because you don't have a right back that you can depend on. That's, I think, is a big deal. And then number two, going back to my original point of that 4-0 loss against the Red Bulls being such a big stain on our defense is because I feel like also without the context, if you just look at it on paper, man, this defense sucks. But we were missing 2 key guys in the midfield that take off a lot of the slack from our defense that help so much. You only had Busquets this time, but you didn't have Redondo and you didn't have Gomez. And if you've been watching the games, you see that those 2 guys are huge in the midfield, especially defensively. Yeah, we've seen what Gomez and Redondo can do on the offensive end. But on the defense, man, those guys have helped our center backs so much.
Huge.
Without those 2 against Red Bulls, they had so much pressure. I felt like our midfield was Swiss cheese on Saturday.
I know. I think that the most important player this season is going to be Redondo. Like when it's all said and done, and you said who has made the most impact, like from start to finish of every single game, and like who we see a clear drop off without, I think it's going to end up being Redondo. Because I mean, it's always Messi. Like the answer is Messi, but like if the answer is not Messi, I think the answer is Redondo. Because just in these first few games, he's spectacular. He's amazing. He's so good, and he's young, and he's he's so good on offense. He's so good on defense. He's so good at connecting. He's so good at being whatever is needed from him, like whether Busquets needs him or if they need him on offense or if the center backs, if Aviles needs him to cover, like he's there already. And it's been like 10 minutes. Like he's so good. And I'm just really excited to see just, I don't know. I think having a midfield three that is consistently him, Gomez and Busquets, which I mean, again, Kramaski is going to find his way into there sometime. So let's keep that in mind, especially as now that he's healthy, he's going to be making it there, but it's a really, really strong midfield three. And that I feel very good about when we have everything else like working with it. I think it's a really, really strong midfield three.
Yeah. As far as the paperwork and all that stuff for Chelo Weigand, I believe that it's probably already done.
Should we call the immigration office?
I think it's probably done. We should call the immigration office. Give me a second.
Go ahead. No, please. Nothing to ruin your internet.
So yeah, call. No. Hello? Yes. Five Reasons, Messi and Co. I'm calling on behalf of Chelo Weigand. I'd like to see if you received his paperwork. We submitted it last week. We are waiting for his arrival. The defense is suffering tremendously for Inter Miami CF. We'd like him to be available for New York City this Saturday, especially for Monterrey next week. They put me on hold.
They put you on hold. Wow, you had a very good journalist voice right there. Like that was very official.
No, but I. So what we said earlier.
Remember John Mota? How it took him like 4 weeks to get his visa, and then 10 minutes later they traded him back to go play in Brazil. I look, he felt bad. I felt bad. He had to wait 4 weeks for his visa, and then they gave it to him, and then like the next week they traded him back to Brazil. That sucks. But at least he can travel now. Like good for him. I hope he goes on holiday. I missed him.
It was an unexpected vacation. Hopefully, he went in business class. But
it's a shame. You know, John Mota is a case where, like, if he wasn't injured last year, one of those players too. I think. Yeah. Like we would have been in a much different position once Messi came. Like I think he was really, I thought he was very good, and like just it, the timing and stuff didn't work out. But like I thought he was very good, and you know, it just didn't work out in the end.
Yeah. Well, as for Chelo again, he already did everything he had to do, and he's already on loan. And what we told you guys is he shows up on the MLS website already as an Inter Miami player. So that shows that
maybe the webmaster was just lazy and didn't want to wait the 5 days, like had it scheduled and was like, I'm on PTO, so I'm making this live.
That'd be actually pretty crazy. Like Beckham's just surfing the web and he's like, what the heck? He's already, I truly think that we can see probably an announcement by Friday. I'm hoping by Friday, if not for sure next week, because I really think that they want him. They're going to do as much as they can to have him ready for Monterrey, in my opinion.
Yeah, he'll be playing against unless there's extenuating circumstances, he'll be playing against Monterrey. I agree. I have to run, and it's been amazing.
I have to run as well. I just want to answer this one because really quick before we head out, this is my fear too, and we know it's going to happen, so we're ready for it. We know that
it's not going to be Redondo. It could be Gomez. It's not going to be Redondo.
Yeah. Redondo, yeah. Redondo will though. We don't know. We just don't.
Just not
think
this
it'll
season.
Be Gomez a lot sooner, which it could be this summer for sure. We've already heard his agent even said it, that they've already received offers from Brighton and other Premier League teams. So we can probably see him.
First person to ever put a Spanish accent on Brighton.
Brighton.
I agree. Redondo definitely not this summer. Maybe next summer. Like he's going to be very quick. Gomez, you know, I love Gomez and I think he makes a huge impact and like he'd be in my starting 11 every day of the week. But now Kramaski back, you have Robert Taylor, you have Gressel, etc. Like if they get offered a lot for him, there could be a world where they take it because, you know, they've obviously spent and invested in a lot of other areas and a lot of other players. And like, you know, we said it before, like being able to pay for Messi and have Messi, like it comes with some consequences. And you see that in other aspects of the roster and their planning and their allocation money and their just everything, you know, financial fair play, et cetera.
And I'm quite all right with players using Miami Inter Miami as a springboard to Europe.
Exactly. Like, I love Brazil. Gomez, and I hope he doesn't leave. But like, if he leaves the summer, like, I don't think any of us would be surprised, because, and I don't think Inter Miami would be surprised, because, like I said, they have Taylor, they have Kramaski, they have, you know, they have Ruiz. Like, there's a lot. They have Gressel. Like, there's a lot of people to take his spot if needed, like, where they can integrate them as being a part of it. And if they can get a lot of money for him because he's young and he's good, it could happen. But we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And they're getting a lot of money for these players as they go to Europe. Guess what they're going to do? Reinvest it and bring better players. So it's a circle. And that's what MLS wants to be. They know that they're not going to be Europe. They want to be Brazil. They want to be Argentina.
Exactly. They want to get to that higher level.
The young guys before they go to Europe. So yeah, that's what you want, and I think that they're doing a good job of starting that now. But yeah, so I think that we are going to head out, but we're gonna try to bring you guys a pregame episode this hopefully tomorrow. We'll see,
tomorrow or Friday for sure.
We're gonna be at the game on Saturday, so we'll bring you coverage from the stadium. So
Chase, make sure stadium, you guys
follow us from Chase Stadium. I'll go ahead and just put this really quick before we leave. As always, I'm going to put our socials here for you guys. You want to make sure that you follow us at Messi and Co.
And on TikTok too. I've been posting a lot more on TikTok. So make sure you're sharing, watching. Thank you as always. We love your comments. You guys, like, seeing a lot of you consistently, like this community, Northern Thai guy, Black Story. Like, there's so many of you that we see often. We love it. I love it. It's really great. The conversations are great. The perspectives are great. The more, the merrier. We're going to keep putting out content. And yeah, things are picking up again. You know, I think only having one game like a week the last couple of weeks, and with the international break and stuff, it seems like things have slowed down, but they're picking right back up, and it's going to be a really exciting few weeks.
We have five games over the next five games in 15 days, guys. This is going to be crazy. So get ready for it.
But so we'll see you then. We'll have our preview soon. We'll have live coverage on Saturday. And as always, thank you for watching and listening.
All right. Bye, guys. Enjoy.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.